Here we come to this last portion of our Lord's long discourse en route to the agony in the garden. It spans three chapters in John's Gospel. We're now getting to the end of it. And here our Lord lifts up our prayer to the Father, seeking to unite us with Himself. And note the way He phrased it, as you, Father, and I are one. So let them be one. That means all of us, the members of the mystical body of Christ, all of us, one with God. Not that we are God or become God, but we become united with Him in such a way, in such an intimate union. It's almost as if we were one with Him. And it's a union, as we see all, it's throughout our liturgy today, it's a union of love. We need to seek to come to love Christ so much that we become one with Him. And that's the analogy that both our Lord uses and St. Paul as well in his epistles, one of his favorite analogies, that of the church, the mystical body of Christ, with Christ Himself, Christ the groom, the church, all of us, the bride. It's an intimate union of love. And note, we see a few things that our Lord tells us here, indicates to us by this prayer. Because, well, first of all, He says that they may share my joy completely. And He alludes to the fact that in sharing that joy, what's going to happen? Note how He puts it. The world, I gave them your word. Now, what's the word? It's our Lord Himself. And the world hated them. Why? He tells us. Because they do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. If we are one with Christ, then we don't belong to the world. And you read the lives of the saints, particularly the martyrs. They understood that very, very well. That's how deep their love was for God. They longed to be with Him and lament much intense suffering. Each time. But that suffering, and this is what our Lord is pointing to, is a great joy. Now we look at that and we think, whoa, wow. I mean, that contradicts you. How can such intense suffering be a joy when it causes so much pain? Which it does. But yet it's a joy. And the answer is, look at the lives of the saints. They rejoice with it. Yes, and it's a great joy. Because now they were showing their love for Him, who was, and what was our Lord doing through all of that suffering? No, He wasn't just sitting back and watching. He wasn't looking back and saying, so what? No, He was showing them, He was sharing His love with them. You see, it became a great joy. And then these cuffs suffered some of the most atrocious sufferings and tortures because they knew they were going back to Him. They were going to heaven. And they knew it. So they longed for it, actually. They wanted it. And then they went through heroically, and it really is heroically, such intense suffering. And then at the end here, our Lord speaks of being consecrated in the truth. Again, who is the truth? What is it? That's our Lord Himself. And He consecrates Himself that we too can share in that truth. And I consecrate myself for them, that means all of us, so that they also may be consecrated in the truth. Our Lord is going to now to His suffering and death. He's giving it all back to the Father. And He's doing that so we too can share in that truth. You see, it means that we're going to meet intense suffering. But it's a great joy because it's uniting us. It's we are uniting, being united with Christ, and Christ is uniting Himself with us. That intense union of love, that's what it is. And because of that's why the saints could go through it as heroically as they did. Now we can read a lot, again, we read the lives of the saints, we see several that never actually shed their blood. Some of them maybe weren't even tortured as such. But yet they did actually suffer. Don't think they didn't suffer. As long as they weren't completely united with him, they suffered. Some of them suffered even interiorly, perhaps. There was always suffering involved, but they didn't necessarily shed their blood. But that too was a martyrdom. It's called the martyrdom of love. A white martyrdom of love. There's a red martyrdom of shedding the blood and the white martyrdom of love. But in both cases, it's a martyrdom. Because just look at, what does that word martyr mean? Right? It doesn't literally mean shedding your blood. It means witness. And by accepting that suffering, they accepted, and it was with great joy, they were witnessing. They were witnessing to that love they had for Christ, who went before us, all of us. He did it himself. They were witnessing. They were witnessing, giving witness of their faith in him, of their love for him. So intense, they also had every hope of their salvation. And we're witnessing. And that's the key point. We are too called to be witnesses. We see in the first reading, recall what Peter said. He gave the prerequisites of the one they had to choose to take the place of the fallen, Judas. To which, by the way, our Lord refers to here when he says, except the son of destruction. Right? I guarded them and none of them was lost. Here he's referring to his apostles. Except the son of destruction. The unfortunate Judas who betrayed our Lord, despaired, and hung himself. In any case, what does Peter say? What's the prerequisite? He mentions that, yes, he should be someone who's been with us in our company, one of the disciples, all along with our Lord from the time of his public ministry. But that's not what he says he has to witness to. He says very specifically, he witnesses to the resurrection of our Lord. You see, that's the ultimate proof of our Lord's divinity. His own resurrection from the dead. The fact that our Lord, of his own power, rose himself from the dead. That's what we are to witness to. And our Lord is pointing out, because all the rest, those who do not accept this witness, those who do not accept the following of Christ, I mean those who are reprobate, of course, those who just simply reject. What does he say? They hate us. Why? Because they're not they belong to the world. They want the world. They're not looking towards heaven. They don't care about Christ. They don't care about the truth. They just want to satisfy themselves. And because we give that witness, then they hate us for it. Because they hate him. They reject him, so they reject us. Yes, that will bring much suffering. Much trial. But again, we go out and embrace it willingly. Why? Because it's such a great joy. This is how our joy becomes complete. Because we are witnessing to that very love we have for Christ. Let us then go out and not be afraid to witness our faith, even if it's just simple gestures, little things. And to worry if nobody sees it. Actually, people do see it. But even if you don't see the fruits right now, right, leave that to God. In the end, we will see the fruits. And this will bring us, once again, great joy. But above all, that we're not afraid to say and show how much we love Christ, who has so loved us from the beginning. Praise be Jesus and Mary.